There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are pleased now to talk equity, oil, other markets with Didier Rabatou, the head of global equities at the 122-year-old Swiss private bank Lombard Odier. Good morning to you, Didier. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. By the way, it's not 122, it's 222.
Oh, 1789, is it?
Correct. Lombard Odier is a very, very old, actually the oldest bank in Switzerland now.
I did my sums yesterday and I was out by, well, only 100 years, what can we say? But it's a fascinating. We've had people on from the bank for a very long time. It's a pretty austere organization, isn't it? Thanks very much for coming and talking to us this morning. Somewhat, I would say, against expectations since the blustering Donald Trump took office, the world is becoming a changed place. US equities continuing their bull run. The Koreas potentially putting their 60-year armistice to sleep. We've heard this morning they're going to be talking tomorrow directly between North and South Korea. And China seemingly giving a nod to U.S. cooperation on several projects. Am I wrong in painting a positive picture for the world markets at the moment?
I guess that, you know, you're right. You know, things are on the international side, you know, are getting a little bit better. The reality is that I would say two or three things. First is that the United States have had a very, very long bull market, right? We're talking about a bit more than 100 months of bull market in the United States. And I think that more importantly than, you know, international events, what we have to look at is that the combination of where our return on capital employed going in the United States, so where growth is going, and where cost of capital is going in the United States, are interest rates. The combination of both will have a massive impact on market in the coming weeks or in the coming months.
Well, what is your view on that? I mean, how much, if at all, will those rising U.S. interest rates curtail not just American growth, but global growth?
The reality is that I don't think that, you know, interest rates, you know, will rise dramatically in the coming months in the U.S. or in the two coming years. The only thing is that the valuation of the equity market in the United States. The United States are trading at 3.5 times book value, which is pretty high, to be honest. You know, to sustain that sort of valuation, you need returns to be kept at a very high level and cost of capital to remain low. And what we have seen recently is the cost of capital is slowly rising in the United States. It's now above the 3%. If it suddenly, you know, really goes above, you know, and stay above the 3%, then, you know, markets will be at risk.
So apart from sort of U.S. interest rates, what are the sort of global threats for you? Would it be the sort of rising oil price? Would it be geopolitical tensions? What else is very much on your radar?
Geopolitical tension, to be honest, we have had that for the last, you know, since market exists, right? Unless you have a serious war, right? Which we don't see, you know, right now. Usually, you know, it has a very short-term impact and then disappear. On the trade side, that's pretty important because if trade barriers, you know, start to be very important, you know, across the different zone, what it will mean is that inflation, you know, will accelerate, right? More protectionism, more inflation. More inflation, interest rates go up. Interest rates go up, markets go down. That's the way to look at it, right? And that could be the case, frankly, because if you look at what has happened since 2008, is that every single big zone, China, Asia, Europe, the United States, they are trying to protect their own area. So that will help inflation at some point.
So the United States, you say, a little bit overvalued potentially. We have to be a bit cautious there. But I've also read you say that emerging markets is an asset class that people should really be taking very seriously at the moment. Why emerging markets in particular? And you single out China in one recent interview I saw.
Sorry, just about emerging markets, and you were saying before Lombard Odier is a 222-year-old bank. Remember that Alexandre Lombard in 1830 was talking about emerging markets. That was the United States at that time. Isn't that funny?
Did he coin the term emerging markets? Is that what he said?
Correct.
Yeah.
He was talking about emerging market, yeah, you know, as the United States at that time. Coming back to emerging markets, I think that, you know, the way people in the United States and in Europe look at emerging markets is a very Euro-US centric way, right? Emerging markets have changed dramatically in the last 20 years. And let me tell you just two things. Before, when people were talking about emerging markets, they were talking about natural resources. Natural resources were emerging markets, right? Now, frankly, if you look at the way the MSCI emerging market is made up, it's 30% is technology, right? And then if you look at the countries, 25 years ago, that was South Africa, Brazil, you know, they were, Russia, they were the important countries. Frankly, it's now China, Korea, and Taiwan. So if you look at Northern Asia, it's 50% of emerging markets in terms of benchmark, right? So I think that emerging markets have changed completely. What we are seeing now is that their weight in terms of GDP growth, right, and there is growing, you know, pretty rapidly, while their participation in terms of market cap is too low. So we are very, very positive if you take a 3, 5, 10 years view on emerging markets, because just, you know, they have an important part of the indexes.
Well, let me talk about China versus India in the investment story there. The Indian market's done really well lately. The BSE index is, you know, 35,000-ish points. It's had a very, very good run. What's your investment thesis for India at the moment?
Well, I guess that if you look at India, you know, and I've had this question for the last now 20 years, right? People always tell me, you know, India is too expensive. The reality is that India is one of the best performing market, as you say, not only about, you know, the last 18 months, but about the last 15 years. The reason why is that it's a huge country, 1.4 billion people. It has immense growth. Right, immense growth. It's been growing at around 5-6% per year for the last 20 years, and the reality is that we will continue to do so in the next 10 years. There are some fabulous companies in India, right? Subsidiaries of international companies, like, name them, you know, Colgate India, Hindustan Unilever, or local assets like in the consumer finance business, HDFC. You know, if you buy an asset in India, you know that within the next 5, 7, 10 years, because of the size of a market, right, you're going to continue to make a lot of money.
So obviously your favorite asset class will be equities. India, you like. China, you like. What about this region here? Which markets are you picking in the Middle East?
There's one thing very interesting in the Middle East is clearly Saudi Arabia. And the reason why is that Saudi Arabia, first, is cheap. It's actually very cheap. And the second thing is that Saudi Arabia will be integrated into the MSCI emerging markets within the next months. So it means that it's going to attract.
That's a given, is it?
No, that's not what I've said. Yeah. I said it's very likely that it's going to be introduced. And if it's and if it gets introduced, then the flows coming to Saudi Arabia will be very important. Remember that if Saudi Arabia is introduced with Aramco, it will be around 4-4.5% of emerging markets, so the size of South Africa or Russia.
Looking at some of the risks to equities, we were just talking, Didier, before you came on air, about Citi, which published a report this week saying the rising oil price threatens, it's a hostile environment, was their phrase, for global stocks, because rising oil prices could stoke inflation. You know this story well. How concerned are you about rising oil prices, or what other red flags are there out there for you?
Well, it's first is that, you know, we have had in the world, and especially in the developed world, no inflation in the last 7 years. Reason why is mainly technology and too much production capacity all around the world, right? So inflation has started to pick up in the United States, right, because the growth has been so strong, and so capacity utilization has been going up. And that's true that now oil is adding something here, right? I think that as long as oil remains between 80 and 90, it's just a one-off. Right, so it won't be a serious issue. Now, if oil was going to be above 100 and then stays, you know, between 100 and 130, like it was, you know, 4 years ago, then there would be a risk on inflation, which means that, you know, there will be an acceleration of interest rates increase in the United States. And I've heard you start talking about stagflation. I'm not sure we will be there already, but that could be a risk.
Lastly, let's have a look at the European markets. What are your sort of geographic picks within Europe for stock markets?
You can't really do that because, you know, Europe is so integrated that we look at the European market as the European markets, right? We can't favor. What you could say is that, you know, the UK market is pretty cheap because it's not really, you know, it's not really in the Eurozone. But whatever market is, into the euro currency, you know, we can't look at, you know, we favor one against the other. And actually, you know, they more or less, you know, have all the same performance. So what I would say is that we favor Europe as an investment. And actually, if you look at a chart, what is interesting is that Europe has just broken 5 years bear market against the United States pretty recently.
Well, listen, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us this morning. Didier Rabatou, the head of global equities at Lombard Odier, we very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.